There's a moment in the film The Devil Wears Prada that captures the machinations of the trend forecasting industry perfectly.
What you don't know is that that sweater is not just blue, it's not turquoise, it's not lapis, it's actually cerulean. In 2002, Oscar de la Renta did a collection of cerulean gowns, and then cerulean quickly showed up in the collections of 8 different designers. And then it filtered down through the department stores and then trickled on down into some tragic casual corner where you no doubt fished it out of some clearance bin. And it's sort of comical how you think that you've made a choice that exempts you from the fashion industry when in fact you're wearing a sweater that was selected for you by the people in this room.
Here, Meryl Streep's ruthless fashion editor, Miranda Priestly, is talking about the kind of research used by companies all over the world to predict what people will be looking to buy in the future. Sharon Graubard from StyleSite, a major international trend forecaster, says what might seem like a mysterious process is mostly about the analysis of people and what they're thinking.
Trend forecasting is keeping your finger on the pulse, feeling what's coming next, and being able to communicate that in a clear and usable way to people who need this information.
And who are those people? Just about everyone who wants to sell something. The fashion industry is a major one, of course, but it's also used in industries you wouldn't expect. If you wear perfume, you're wearing something that's been worked on by trend forecasters. If you're driving a car, the design, the color, even the seats all come from trend forecasting. Emmanuel Linard from Edelcourt Trend Union in New York has worked with Mercedes, Nissan, Missoni, Estee Lauder, Lacoste, and those are just the ones she can talk about.
It's difficult to give you the name of clients because very often we sign confidentiality agreements with them.
Trend forecasters don't come cheap. This is a $56 billion industry, and it's getting bigger. Linard says the value of trend forecasters lies in their ability to make sense of the thousands of trends we see every day.
When you see somebody in the street wearing a color that you haven't seen for a long time, let's say like a deep burgundy, then the first time you see it, maybe you're not going to process it and analyze it. But if you see it a second time under another format, like for instance, it's the background of an ad or a poster, then you become aware of it. And you all of a sudden you remember that you saw somebody that was wearing that color. So you're more aware of it. And this is where the analysis starts. Like, how is it going to be developed in fashion, in clothing, in accessories, in beauty products? Is it a makeup for lips? Is it a tint in your hair color? Is it going to work for the inside of a car? Or is it for the outside of your car? You know, so you start to analyze this whole process.
Sharon Graubard from StyleSite remembers when she began noticing the start of the artisan trend a few years back.
I just felt this need to see the touch of a human hand, even if it's a little stitch. And this was more than 10 years ago. And when I used that word artisan in trend presentations, people would ask me, what is that? Like, the word was not even in use. Now we have artisan pizza from Domino's.
Therein lies the chicken and egg dilemma. To be able to communicate trends to big companies, the forecasters need to know what we're all thinking about. So, is what we're thinking about driving trends, or are we being fed the next big thing by trend forecasters? Graubard says that trends and movements happen regardless of whether someone notices them or not.
We have finely tuned antenna, and we're kind of helping to bring forth into manifestation these things that are under the radar. I don't have a cynical point of view about it. I don't think anyone is feeding anyone anything, and I think the consumers are too smart, too educated, and too individualistic at this point in time to be fed anything.
She says it's human nature to search for the next big thing.
And the forecasters can help retailers, manufacturers, product development people, help them put their finger on the things that are bubbling up in society so that they have those products waiting when the desire hits.
Trend forecasters like Graubard and Linard mine the collective consciousness on a daily basis, and working anywhere from 1 to 5 years in advance means they don't just use a crystal ball, they are the crystal ball. But, says Linard, we're actually all trend forecasters.
Everybody is doing their own synthesis of what they're looking at, what they're seeing, what they're understanding from whatever source people are picking information from. The news, you know, each other, their kids, the internet, now everything. We're all doing it. I guess what makes us proficient in it is that that's all we do, and we do it 24/7, and we have also the experience of having done it for so long that then you kind of have an idea of the cycles, if there are any cycles, that come and go and come back and go, etc.
So, what's the next trend that we'll see manifesting itself in the clothes, cars, and design products in stores a few years from now? Emmanuel Linard's company, Edelcourt, scanned the horizon and noticed the re-emergence of an old trend.
We identified it as being a second coming, almost, of the Romanticism, which was a historical trend that started 250 years ago in Europe. And I was based on a counter-reaction to too much industrialization, because it was the Industrial Revolution at the time. And we realized that we are going a little bit through the same process now. So this is the new trends. And it's a very, very new look in products, because it involves a lot of beautified, hedonistic trends. Even the casual wear will have details and finishes that are kind of historical, or we will have to merge the male and the female. A new archetype of male, much softer, is coming up now with longer hair, you know, open to makeup. And we will bridge the outdoors and the indoors in lifestyles, for instance. But this is what we see is coming up for the future.
So when romantic influences start trickling into your daily life in a few years' time, remember, you heard it here first. For Word of Mouth, this is Britta Conroy Randall.